Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
I'm convinced that this is the most quoted series I've ever done. Like, I've had more people Facebook, tweet, pull me out the side there in the lobby and say, "You'll never believe what happened to me this week. I met a vampire." It's awesome. I was talking to somebody just a minute ago about they flew last week. They were in the airport. And they ran into somebody else from Wellspring. And they were standing at the terminal. I mean, they were standing at the luggage thing. And literally, someone stood right in front of them. And it was like, oh, he's a prophet. No. It just happens all the time. Hey, I've had fun this series. I hope you've had fun this series. I hope that God has spoken to you through this series as we've been talking about how to hug vampires, how to deal with the people in our lives that suck the life out of us, right? We all have those people. We all have to learn to deal with those people. And we've spent a few weeks talking about that, but we've got to remember where we started. Week one, we started with the truth that we're all vampires. Right? That's how we had to start. We're all vampires. We all suck the life out of someone. I know it's hard for you to imagine, but you irritate somebody. You do. You drive them crazy. And so what we did is we looked at a story from the life of Jesus, and we adopted a principle that when we're beginning to deal with vampires, when we're dealing with people that suck the life out of us, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put down the magnifying glass, and we're going to pick up a mirror. And we're going to not spend time examining other people and how irritating they are in an airplane. We're going to rather ask God to show us what he wants to change about us. And then week two, we started talking about how to then begin to live your life that way and how to deal with other people. And we talked about boundaries. We talked about property lines. We talked about how you're called to own what God wants you to own and not other people's stuff. And a lot of us are having vampires in our lives, and vampires are sucking the life out of us because we're inviting them in and we're allowing them to because we're owning their issues. We're owning their crazy. And remember, you can't fix crazy. You can't. You can't help someone that needs help. You can only help someone that wants help. So we talked about establishing some proper boundaries in our lives. And again, Jesus was our model for that. Jesus showed us how to give unconditional love without giving unlimited access to our life. That's what Jesus could do. And then the last two is we talked about some specific vampires. We talked about the complaining vampire, and it made a lot of you mad because I busted you because you complain a lot on Facebook and you whine and whine and whine. We called it Whine Book. And then last week, you all got to get me back because I talked about the angry vampire, and it was basically a 35-minute therapy session where I confessed to you that I have anger issues, deep, deep anger issues. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about one more vampire. This one might be the most dangerous. And this one's not funny, and this one's not cute, and I don't even want you to hug this one. The vampire we're going to talk about today is one that my goal is when we're done today is that you kick this vampire out of your life and you never let them back in, because this vampire isn't another person. This vampire is right here. This vampire is ourselves. This vampire loves to dwell on the past. This vampire loves to remind us of our shortcomings and remind us of our failures and remind us of all the mistakes we've made in our life. Of course, I'm talking about the vampire of guilt. The vampire of shame. The vampire of regret over past mistakes. See, we all have past mistakes. You've messed up. I've messed up. We've all messed up. And most of us have guilt and regret tied up in those things. I don't know what it is you've done. I mean, I can guess. We've all done things. Maybe, you know, maybe when you were a teenager, you got caught in a lie. Or maybe you just lied and you felt guilty about it. Or teenagers, maybe you lied to your parents last night, and now you're terrified because you're like, how does he know I did that? Because I know. I've taught my kids, they're 7, 5, and 2. I've told David, just so you know, Dad knows everything. He still believes me. So when he stops believing me, we're going to be in trouble. But right now he does. It's like, I know what you did. I know you did that. How did you know that? Because I know everything. It works. Anyway, Maybe you have guilt over some lies you've told. You got caught and you regret it. Maybe you had a moment in your past life, you were being reckless, you were being careless, you were being silly, somebody got hurt. Maybe you made a poor choice and you've spent the last 20 years wishing you could take it back. Bargaining with yourself and with God, just saying, man, I would do anything to get that back. I would do anything if I didn't have to live with the regret and the pain of what I've done. See, guilt's a powerful emotion. It has the power to freeze us. It has the power to paralyze us. Guilt often leads to shame. We're ashamed of what we did. We're embarrassed. We don't want to be around other people. We isolate ourselves. It can destroy relationships. If you've ever felt guilt in your life, if you've ever been guilty, you know that it's a vampire. You know that it can suck the absolute life out of you. See, when we feel guilty, oftentimes we feel worthless. We feel like we don't add up. A smarter person wouldn't have made that mistake. A better person wouldn't have done that. So we think, well, I'm not worthy to continue in this. I'm not worthy to be this person's spouse. I'm not worthy to be their parent. And especially when it comes to your relationship with God. I know some of you are here today and you don't even believe in God. And I'm thrilled that you're here. So even if you don't believe in him, I still think you struggle with guilt. And I think one of the reasons you don't believe in God is because were you to believe in God, you didn't have to deal with that. And probably the picture you've been painted of God is that God's some mean, mad guy just kind of waiting to bust you, right? Like everybody else in your life when you apologize. When you feel guilty, you go to your wife, you say, I'm sorry. And she says, oh, it's okay, I forgive you. No, that's not what she says. She says, good, you should be sorry. About time. That's not what my wife says. But other wives I've heard say that. I've heard. But no, when we mess up, we'll go to people, we apologize, we make amends. Sometimes they accept us, sometimes they don't. And for some people, that's it, man. They apologize, and they don't struggle with guilt. There are people that don't struggle with guilt, and God bless you. I do. I think many of you do as well. You've done everything you can do. You've said you were sorry. You've tried to fix it. But the feelings just won't go away. The sickness and the pit of your stomach just won't go away. You don't know what to do about it. You don't know how to make it go away. So you try harder and you work harder and you tell yourself, well, if I just do this, then I can buy myself out of it and I won't feel guilty anymore. But it doesn't work. Some people have a relationship with God and they leave their relationship with God because they're so guilty. They feel so guilty about things they've done in their past. The one thing that they've done that they can never take back and, oh, I can't believe that happened. They'll leave the church. I had a conversation with a guy a month ago. Who's left? I'm trying to get him back. He says, man, I can't go back. There's no way God can forgive me for what I've done. There's no way. See, he feels guilty. Others of you never even give God a chance. You never give him a shot because of your guilt, because of how paralyzed you are by regret over your past mistakes. See, that's what guilt does. Guilt makes us so paralyzed, we don't even want to try. We'll never be good enough. We'll never measure up. We'll never be as good as that person. We'll never be as good a dad as him. We'll never be as good a mom as her. We'll never be as good a Christian as they are. And so we don't even try. And we just struggle with these feelings of guilt and shame. Sometimes it even leads to depression. All because we regret things we've done in our past. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say today, and it's possible, but if you hear nothing else, please hear this. That is not how the God of the universe wants you to live. Please hear that. Whether you believe in him or not, I do. I know he's real. And I promise you, he does not want you to feel that way. at all. In fact, guilt, shame, regret, those are emotions the God of the universe never intended for you to feel, ever. Did you know that? Never wanted you to feel shame. Never wanted you to feel regret. Never wanted you to feel guilt. But we do. But lucky for us, he has an answer for that. We don't have to continue to feel that way. We can be set free from that. We can kick the vampire of guilt out of our lives. And as we do most weeks, we're going to turn to Jesus. We're going to turn to a story from the life of Jesus to help show you and me how we can kick this vampire of guilt out of our lives. It's a common story. You may have heard it if you grew up in church. You might be familiar with it. If not, let me give you the background right now. One day, Jesus' followers came to him, and they had a question for him. They said, hey, you know, we see you. Clearly, you're the Son of God. We see you, you know, you spend time with your dad, and you have a great relationship with him. Will you teach us how to do that? Will you teach us how to pray? Will you teach us how to hang out with God? Will you teach us how to have the same relationship you do? That's a great question. And what Jesus taught them is probably the most famous prayer in the world. Even as I say it, you've probably heard of it before. It's called the Lord's Prayer. If you grew up in any type of church background, you heard the Lord's Prayer. If you played sports of any kind, like with me, JV basketball, this is how I said the Lord's Prayer. Huddle up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, will be done. Earth is heaven. You know, you don't know what we said or we prayed. We didn't win much, so I guess it didn't work. But you may be familiar with the Lord's Prayer. I also said it a lot in the church I grew up. I grew up in a Baptist church. And every service during our Baptist service, a different preacher would get up and he would pray for a really long time. No one knows what he was talking about. But the cue to wake up was he would wrap up his prayer and he would say, blah, 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 who taught us to pray, praying, our Father, who art in heaven. And everybody in the congregation would go, oh, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that was the cue to come back to earth, because he'd been praying for like 10 minutes about the birds. Who knows? I don't know what he was praying about. I didn't pay attention. But the Lord's Prayer has been out there, and I think for people, the Lord's Prayer has become this thing that even if you don't believe in God, you've heard of it, you know about it, maybe you've been to a wedding, you've heard it sung. But there's so much power in the Lord's Prayer. But think about the question. Jesus' disciples went to him and said, teach us how to have a relationship with your dad. Could there be a more fundamental question to be asked in life if you believe Jesus is who he says he is? And what he says, the answer, it's our answer today. It's the answer for how we kick the vampire of guilt out of our lives. So let's turn to it right now. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 11. That's where we're going to be. If not, we're going to have it up on the screen like we do every single week. Luke 11 starts in verse 2. They came to Jesus and Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. A couple of quick things. He says, how do you have a relationship with my dad? First thing, call him dad. It's a personal relationship. It's not something you have to be afraid of. It's not some far-off thing. It's a close, personal relationship with your dad. And oh, by the way, your dad is perfect. He's holy. He's perfect. And that's just a reminder for us every day that he's perfect. So everything he wants for us is perfect. And so we should want what he wants. Verse 3, he says, this is how you should pray. Give us each day the food we need. See, Jesus is practical. You need things. You need to eat. You need a place to sleep. You need clothes. God wants to provide them for you. You're allowed to ask. You're allowed to tell him, hey, I need this. I need this. And not just big things. Give us this day our daily bread. That's how I learned it. This says, give us each day the food we need. See, that's a subtle reminder that you should pray to your dad daily. Jesus says, you want to have a relationship with my dad, you got to talk to him every day. You got to be pals with him. It's got to be a regular relationship, just like any other relationship in your life. If you want a relationship to grow, you got to spend time together. You can talk about little things. You talk about big things. You can let him know, hey, man, I would really, really, really like a new pair of shoes. Can you help with that? And he would say, yes, get a job. I will provide it for you, but I'm not going to make it rain shoes. This is not that kind of church. And then Jesus says this. He says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield into temptation. He says, how do you have a relationship with my dad? You call him dad. Make it a personal relationship. You spend time with him every day. You talk to him about the needs in your life. And you talk to him about the sins in your life. You talk to him about the mistakes in your life. Now, for those of you in the room that don't believe in God, let me explain what a sin is. A sin is anything we do that God would not want us to do. Anytime we cheat, we steal, we lie, those are sins. Now, you may not have called it a sin. You didn't know it was a sin, but it's still a sin. And you still felt guilty about it. And you felt guilty about it because you don't know this, but God is actually at work in your life without you realizing it. He has his fingerprints on your heart. It's this thing called a conscience. It's why you wish you hadn't done certain things. It's why you feel bad about things. It's because somewhere deep inside your soul, you know that God is real. There is order in this universe, and his way is best. You just haven't discovered that yet. That's why we're glad you're here. But it's called a sin. And what Jesus is saying is, yeah, those things you feel guilty about, you talk to my dad about it every day. Just talk to him about it. Now, if you're in the room today and you do believe in God, but guilt is something you struggle with, that terrifies you, right? That's the very last thing you want to do. When you feel bad and guilty about something, the last person you want to talk about to it is God. Because you're scared of God. Because you're afraid he's going to yell at you. You're afraid he's going to scream at you. You're afraid he's going to wag his finger and say, I told you so. I told you not to do that. And see, here's why. It's not because you're a bad person. I think most people feel that way about God. And it's because most people have a flawed view of our relationship with God. Did you know that? I think most people misunderstand our relationship with God. They think it's like our relationship with everybody else. See, with everybody else, when we mess up, when we forget something, when we forget to call our wife at lunch, well, we're in a little trouble. So we got to call, and we got to say we're sorry, and we got to make up for it a little bit. When we forget to call our wife on our anniversary, well, we're in big trouble, and we got to make up for it a big bit. You better bring some flowers and some chocolate and something else too. Who knows? See, we live a life where we accrue debt with other people and then we have to pay it off. So it makes sense that we think our relationship with God is the same way. I think most people feel like their relationship with God works a lot like a credit card. They go through life, every time they sin, every time they make a mistake, boom, they charge the credit card. There's another sin debt I owe. They charge the credit card. Here's another sin debt I owe. They charge the credit card. Another sin debt I know. Driving in the car, somebody cuts you off, you cuss at them, charge that card. In the airport, charge that card. And then when you come to church or when you pray, when you have a personal relationship, your personal time with God, what you're doing there is you're coming to him, you're asking him to forgive you so that he will wipe the slate clean, so that he will clear the charges. But then you walk out and you begin to live your life and you start accruing debt again. I think most people think that's what Jesus is saying when he says we need to ask God to forgive us every single day. But here's the thing, that's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, that idea is 100% not true. I would go so far as to say it is a lie from the pit of hell designed to destroy your life. Now, why would I say that? Why would I say that? Well, there's two other verses I want to show you, and they actually aren't in the book of Luke. I don't usually do this, but I want to do it today because I want to show you something that is in the book of Hebrews. And it proves that what I'm saying is true. It proves that this idea of accruing new sin debt every day is a lie. And it also is the key to setting you free from the vampire of guilt. Real quick, Hebrews 10:10, this is what it says. It says, for God's will, that's God, that's dad, that's his will, what he wanted, His will that always comes true. God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. If you've grown up in church, if you've been around church, you've heard this. Jesus died on the cross as the payment for our mistakes. His will was for that to happen. Now I want you to see the last verb part there. What does it say? It says, once for all time. I want you to say that with me. Once for all time. One more time. Once for all time. Now just think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Once for all time. Now, what does that mean? I've taught this before. If you've been around, it's not new information. If you're new today, man, I'm about to give you the best piece of news you've heard in a while. See, when Jesus paid the price for us, when he chose to give up his life for us, when he died on that cross, he paid the price. He paid the penalty for every single sin, regret, mistake, bad thought, cross word I'd ever committed, right? And that's what we get. We're like, okay, he's cleared me till now. But here's what we miss. He also paid the price for every single bad decision, sin, nasty thought, cross word I'll ever commit. He paid the price for all of it. Once. For all time. Once. For all time. Which means when you begin a relationship with Jesus, when you give your life to him, when you say, okay, yeah, I can't do this on my own. I want to follow you. I know I've messed up. I need some guidance. I need some forgiveness. When you say those things, it's not like your sins are gone. It's not as if they're gone until you blow it again. They're gone. King David named my oldest son after him. King David wrote a lot of poems to God, and one of them in the book of Psalms, Psalms 103:12 says this. He says, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. See, that's what happened when you began a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have, if you're a Christ follower. Your sins were removed as far as the east is from the west. That means you will never be punished for your sins. It means there are no consequences for your sins. Let me be clear. In heaven, if you rob a bank, you can be forgiven in heaven, but you will pay on earth. You can't rob a bank and say, I'm forgiven. That's fine. Jesus will forgive your butt in jail. You're forgiven all you want, but you're going to be in jail. See, there are earthly consequences to sin. There are earthly problems. If you hurt someone, God can forgive you and cleanse you of your guilt, but you should still try to make amends to that person. You should still seek to make relationships right. This isn't talking about earthly consequences and, hey, it's just a license to do whatever you want. But the freedom found here is that in God's eyes, if you're a follower of his, you're forgiven completely, totally. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end to change your mind and to experience forgiveness for yourself. So see, no, if you're a follower of Christ, we don't accrue new debt every day. We don't put new sins on. Those are already paid for. So let's go back to Jesus' teaching. So why on earth would Jesus say that we needed to ask for forgiveness every day? Why would Jesus want me to bring up my deepest, darkest, most painful secrets, most painful regrets, things that I'm miserable about, that I'd do anything to change? Why would he want me to talk about those with God? Why would he want me to do that? I'm ashamed of those. I'm embarrassed. I don't want God to know that happened. I don't want to talk to him about that. Why would Jesus say, not only do you need to talk about it, you need to talk about it every day? Daily. in your relationship with him, you need to go to him and talk about your mistakes and your regrets. Why would he do that? I'm glad you asked. Because the answer is the key to everything. The answer is how we kick the vampire of guilt out of our life. See, Jesus wasn't actually saying we need to go to God and ask for forgiveness, because forgiveness is already given if we have a relationship with Jesus. It's already been done. What he was saying is when you make new mistakes, when you mess up, when you feel guilt, you need to confess that to God. You need to take that to God. Not so God can reprimand you, not so he can condemn you, but so that he can comfort you. So that he can remind you, I know. I knew that would happen. Already paid for. No, but Jesus, but you don't get it. I did this. I know. It's paid for. No, but man, you don't, sweet, you don't get it. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the pain I've caused. You don't know the regret I have. And Jesus would say, of course I do. I've numbered the hairs on your head. I'm enamored with you. Nothing's ever happened in your life that I don't know about. And I still chose you. You're forgiven. See, I think God wants to tell you that every single day. And you get it. You do that to people in your life that you love. You do. How many of you are currently in love right now? If you're in love, husbands, raise your hands. So don't think about it. Raise your hands. I fell in love with my wife when I was 22 years old. Told her I loved her. Thank God she says she loved me too. I was a little nervous about that. I was 22 years old. You know what? Wasn't the last time I said it. I say it every day. I say it multiple times a day. One, to remind her, hey, I love you. Don't go looking for anywhere else because I love you. Because she could do a lot better. I'm a doofus in a skinny tie. Of course she could do better. But I want to remind her every single day. If you have kids, how often do you tell your kids you love them? Probably makes them sick, right? My kids are like, dude, we get it. You love us. Back off. But it's because I want them to know. I want them to experience it. I want them to feel it. The God of the universe feels the same way about you. He wants the opportunity every single day to pull you in, hug you tight, look you dead in the eyes, and say, I adore you. You blow me away. I know you've messed up, but you're forgiven. I'm not mad at you. I've never been mad at you. I'm mad about you. But I'm not mad at you. Now see, we don't believe that. We want to fight that. Even as I say it, there's something in you that's pushing back, that's saying, no. That sounds great, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know the mistake I've made. I've done too many bad things. I've done too much bad stuff. I know God can forgive normal stuff, but I'm really bad. Let me introduce you to the person who's lying to you. His name is Satan. I know we don't like to talk about him, but he's real. He hates your guts, and he lies to you. He's the one who invented this whole idea of building up debt on a credit card, and the more we sin, the more we got to owe God. He built that up because here's why. If he can convince you that you owe God, eventually he can convince you that you owe too much, and you can never pay it back, and that God's just a landlord, and you can't pay the bill, and he's about to evict you. So why would I show my face at church? God hates me. God's mad at me. Well, I can't pray to God because he's mad at me. And the guilt and the shame just continues to build up, and it paralyzes you and it destroys your life. All because you're believing a lie. God's not mad at you. He paid the price. When Jesus was on the cross, when he died, he said, it is finished. Not, it's almost over if they do what I want. He said, it's finished. The price is paid. Oh, have to do is accept the gift. That's what he's saying to you right now. All you have to do is accept the gift. See, many of you, it's like you're sitting at the table after the end of a great meal. And you had appetizers. You had a little wine. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That's okay. This ain't, we're not Baptists. It's cool. Maybe you bought a round for somebody else. You got a couple of entrees. You got dessert. And now they brought the check. And it's a fancy restaurant, so they put it in a little book. The story of your meal. And it's right there. Got that, didn't you? That's a Seinfeld joke. I only steal from the best. The story of your meal. But you're sitting there petrified. You are terrified to open the book. Because you know what's in there. You know the mistakes you've made. You know the problems you've caused. You know the carnage that's in your path. You know that there are some serious things you have blown in your life. And you know what that bill says. And you know you can't pay it. You know you don't have any hope of paying it. You're terrified to open the book. You're terrified to look at the bill. And then Jesus comes and he sits down at your table. And he says, hey there. What you waiting on? You're like, well, I don't know how to pay this. It's too big. And Jesus says, just open it. Look at it. I don't want to open it because if I open it, it becomes real. Right now, it's pretend, and I can tell myself it'll be okay. And Jesus says, no, open it. Open it. And so you, okay. And you do the thing where you slowly open it, and you like peek in. And as you open it, you see it's been stamped. Paid in full. You owe nothing. And Jesus just sits there smiling at you and says, I told you, man. I got you. Paid in full. Paid in full. See, as you sit there in that moment, I think your heart would begin to warm and the guilt you have would begin to go away. And in that moment, you'd realize what Jesus was teaching us when he was teaching us how to pray. See, he was teaching us that you know, God's supposed to be personal. He's supposed to be our Father. He's supposed to be a close relationship. We're supposed to talk to him about things we need in our life. We're also supposed to talk to him about when we mess up. We're supposed to confess it to him because he knows that guilt in your life is deadly. It is dangerous, and it'll paralyze you. That's why Jesus says, man, I want you to talk to me about it every single day. I want you to come to me every single day when you mess up, when you blow it. Here's what Jesus would say. He'd say to me, when I struggle with these issues, when I feel unworthy, I should take my guilt to God so God can take my guilt. Take my guilt to God so God can take my guilt. I don't know if you ever figured it out or not, but he's the only one that can. That's why you feel guilty about things that you paid for years ago. Because you have to take your guilt to God so that God can take your guilt. He's the only one that can set you free. Because he's the only one that can pay the bill. And he already has. He paid it 2,000 years ago. So your question is, what are you going to do about it? And see, here's a small little piece. When Jesus says to ask God to forgive us of our sins, we forgive those who sin against us. The last part there says, and lead us not into temptation. See, this forgiveness isn't a license to do whatever you want. As you can take your guilt to God, and God takes your guilt, your relationship with him grows, it becomes stronger, you trust him more, and he's better able to teach you how to avoid future mistakes, how to avoid future pitfalls. And then you can live guilt-free, not because you've been forgiven. You can live guilt-free because you're walking free. Because you're walking in His path and you're walking in His ways and you're not making the mistakes that used to cause the guilt you have. That is the life Jesus offers. That is the life that is available to every single one of you in this room today. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close right now and I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray. Because there are two groups of people in the room today. The first group of people, you have a relationship with God. You're a follower of Christ. And maybe you struggle with guilt, maybe you don't. But I'm going to give you a chance in just a moment just to have a time to pray to God and to confess your sins. To confess just so you can feel the healing of His love and forgiveness. So you can feel Him wrap His arms around you and say, paid in full. You're forgiven. Let me show you how to avoid that in the future. And as we're praying, there's going to be another group of people. You're here because somebody asked you to come. You're here because you were promised lunch afterwards. You're here because you saw a card somewhere. But you don't really believe in God. You don't really believe in this Jesus thing. But you struggle with guilt. You feel guilty all the time. You have crushing guilt over a mistake you made 20 years ago. You don't know what to do about it. Well, little did you know, God's been at work in your life to bring you to this moment. So that right now you could have an opportunity to kick that guilt out of your life. And to find the freedom that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, as the folks in the room who have a relationship, I want you to go ahead and begin praying right now. Ask God to remind you of how loved you are. To remind you He's not mad at you, He's mad about you. I want you to take your guilt to God right now so God can take your guilt. And if you're in the room today and you don't believe in Jesus, but you'd like to change that right now, I invite you to repeat after me. I'm going to just say a simple prayer. And if you pray this in your hearts, if you speak this to God, He'll respond. And you can begin a relationship with Him. Just repeat after me. Say, God, I need You. I can't do this on my own. I've made mistake after mistake. And I can't pay for it. But I believe that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to pay it for me. And that when He died on the cross, You punished Him for every mistake I'll ever make. And that's amazing. And I know You offer that to me now as a gift. And so today I want to accept that gift. I want to accept the forgiveness Your Son bought for me. And I commit right now to following You and to follow Your lead for the rest of my life. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it means. But I know it's better than what I have now. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for forgiving me. Now I want you to know, if you just prayed that prayer, the Bible says that heaven's having a party. And at Wellspring, we want to have a party too. But I can't get inside your head. I don't know what just happened. So I have one request before we close and we sing a song. Under your chairs is something we call a connection card. It's your way to let us know what's going on in your life. If you're here today and you prayed that prayer, if you're here today and you accepted the gift of forgiveness, I'm begging you, to pick that card up, put your name on it, put an email address or a phone number so we can contact you, and there's a little box that says, today I became a Christ follower. We want to know that. We want to celebrate with you for that. And when we dismiss, there's going to be a box right beside the door. You can drop it in that box, or we're going to have folks out there that actually have a gift for you. You can take the card to them. It's not going to be weird. They're not going to ask you a bunch of questions, but we have a gift for you. We want to celebrate your decision, and we want to help you begin this journey of following Christ for the rest of your life. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song. And as you sing this, as I sing this song, and you hear these words, I want you to be reminded of how much God loves you. I want you to be reminded that guilt is not something He ever wanted you to feel. I want you to be reminded that the key to kicking the guilt of the vampire of guilt out of our lives is to take our guilt to God. So God can take our guilt. Some of you get to sing this song today and mean it for the very first time. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the way You're moving in this place. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that your forgiveness knows no end. Father, I thank you that our debt is paid in full. Lord, implant this truth on our hearts that we need to take our guilt to you so you can take our guilt. We love you, Father. Bless us now as we sing these words. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.